This week on the droids have finally been released from their carbonite freeze and are back to talk about Ahsoka. Who saved us? What bounty hunter was us that got us out of the frozen carbonite? Find out on this edition of the droids.
These are the droids you're looking for. You got them raised up.
I'm that one.
There's always a bigger fish.
Hello there.
Rebellion's built on hope.
You want a droid?
Welcome back to the Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. Alongside Chris and Ryan, I am Mike. And, whew, guys, I think my vision is coming back. I think I've got some ability to watch shows now after all that time in Carbonite. Where have we been?
Well, guys, I mean, you know, we got our new clothes. We all grew a foot. We got our summer tans. It's the first day of school, babies.
What a nice rest that was. I'll be honest, they say it's for prisoners, but honestly, best sleep of my life.
I'd pay like someone to put spa. Me in carbon right, freeze yeah, every night if I could.
In the Star Wars universe, they're going to have like people that just like opt in for it.
It'll be like one of those things, like, you know, that scene in Inception where they go into that basement and everybody's like dreaming.
Yeah, exactly.
It'll be like people that are just like, oh my God, I could never sleep until this.
It's on the outskirts of society. It's frowned upon by, you know, normal culture, but those of us who
or it's like right. a, or it's just like a pharmaceutical commercial that's on something. Right.
Try cryo sleep.
Do you want to emerge carbonated?
The droids have been in their carbonite freeze, but we're very excited to be back to talk about Ahsoka. Yes. We have to get one thing out of the way at the start. This is a critical review of Ahsoka. We are talking about the show. We are not encouraging you to watch the show. We want to give you a critical perspective because we are standing with the WGA and SAG in their strike. I know there's a little bit of gray area in direction on podcasts on what they should be doing, but we're taking a critical focus on this.
Especially since there is a lot of gray area. None of us are a member of any of the guilds, so exactly. I'm not sure what repercussions there would be.
Hey, right. I would imagine, Ryan, that you are basically next in line to be a showrunner, so I want to make sure that we protect you.
Exactly. I'm an hour away from my card, man.
This is for inevitably when we're running our Star Wars knockoff series. Yeah,
they don't want to find out that to three listeners we did a promotional podcast. Well, this is not a promotional. Do we wish it was, though?
Burn the tapes.
You know, there's a New York Times article about movie talk. And look, if you want to throw money at something, we'll take the money. We're shameless. No.
In fact, Disney asked us not. Disney asked us not to do this.
yeah. That, no, I think, how I, insane I, is that, Bob? No. You want to hear about that, Bob?
But I agree with you, Mike. We stand with our friends in the SAG and WGA and SAG-AFTRA, correct?
Yeah.
We're not making light of the strike. We're making light of us.
Of ourselves.
And our, you know, who's going to find this? And who's
we don't want anyone to think that we're scabbing because our earnings before and after and during the strike were exactly the same. Zero.
Yeah, exactly. If we made anything from this, please, Mike, Ryan, let me know.
Film production in the city of Chicago is picking up, and I've been trying to get background extra work. Yeah, and you know, you do enough of that, you can get your card. I think
that's the Bear Universe.
Yes, the Bear Universe.
It's picking up now during the strike. Names, Mike.
Right. It's a lot of low budget stuff. You can
Mike saw Joe Swanberg out there with a DSLR camera.
Here you go. Here's a McDonald's gift card.
Well, we want to get straight to talking about Ahsoka.
I'm so sorry. We've been on summer break. Our friend David as an homage to the Doughboys podcast, which we are all a fan of, our friend David sent us a drop.
Oh, right. He sent it right before our break.
He's been asking about it. So I got to say, we're going to play that for you, David, and we're going to play it right now. Obviously, it's going to be also like Robert Rodriguez is making it. You know that it's like kind of his swing. I'm excited for the show.
Boba Fett series.
Yeah. Go to my OnlyFans.
They started putting something in the burritos.
Boba Fett is the long-lost third cousin of Shmi Skywalker.
Exactly.
So we can get all the way back to the Skywalker.
That's right. And we're back. David, thank you. I don't remember saying any of those things.
I don't want to keep using
AI generated voices.
Now that, was that all AI?
Does the AI have me? Does the AI have me? Can someone ask ChatGPT?
I mean, that really made me feel good.
If you've hosted a podcast long enough, there's enough audio to create
an
AI version of your voice. Remember like when they recreated Roger Ebert's voice from like one Citizen Kane commentary? It's like we have what, probably conservatively 500 hours of
Well, there's that, and the technology itself has advanced so far that it can sound realistic. I think Apple is providing a way for you to send voicemails with your voice if you do record in the new iOS 17 this fall.
Record
like 15 minutes worth of audio. And it can create your voice for sending it to people.
Wow.
I got to tell you, I really look forward to that. Oh, do we all have to read the script that Philip Seymour Hoffman read in, like, Mission Impossible 3? Do you remember that?
Right. Exactly. What if they're, like, making everybody, like, say stuff like, hi, what is your bank account number?
I imagine that if they made AI voices of us generated from the podcast feed, it's like every time Chris's voice spoke, there would just be like a little bit of my voice talking over him.
It's like a little bit of a cutoff.
For future generations, they'll just be like, oh, there's Grandpa Ryan. And here's Chris. Right, no, Chris is part of that.
Oh, there's his side voice, Chris.
Was he two people?
Why does he say Grogu at the end of every
word? Maybe I had like a second life with this Chris. what was the story with Grandpa and Chris?
Is this the big reveal in our family? We finally find out.
Why were they always together? And who was this?
We didn't want to say, but he did a Star Wars podcast.
Why were they always together? The biggest scandal of all.
Yeah.
That's how we find ourselves on Narquina 5, is by doing a Star Wars podcast.
Exactly.
I feel like I would rather my great-grandchildren find out that I was having an affair than that I had a Star Wars podcast.
that we have over 200 hours of us recorded talking about Star Wars.
Well, surely he was in his teens when he was doing it, right? Yeah. It was a childish thing.
Ryan, you're making me regret that now when I introduce myself to people, I tell them within the first three sentences that I have a Star Wars podcast.
Yeah, you gotta go.
Is this a wrong move? Am I putting
cards
people
printed
off?
And everything?
Yeah. Oh no. What have I done? All right, well, let's get to Ahsoka and talk about these first two episodes. Dave Filoni running the ship on this one, and I think you can tell. You can tell compared to Book of Boba Fett, compared to Mandalorian, that this is a Dave Filoni joint. But we pick this one up years after, well, Rebels ended, but we really find out a little bit from this episode that we basically got that clip at the end of Rebels between Sabine and Ahsoka was, you know, meant to be well after Return of the Jedi, and they basically mirrored it. I'm getting very specific for later in this, but they just recreated it in live action, which was really kind of cool to see and very special for Rebels fans, for Clone Wars fans. I think overall, you know, give me your overall impressions of the show, even though I was talking specifically about that ending.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important to a show like this, especially I feel like the kind of the approach I've heard a lot of people would be like, oh, do I need to know all this extra stuff to know what this show is? And I think the answer is like yes and no, because scenes like you just described, like that is a direct tie-in, and I think if you know, you know. But if not, I mean, it still works, and I think that's kind of what I'm approaching the show as. I'm trying to view it as if I don't know this other stuff, almost as a metric of, does this work without knowing everything else? And I think it does. I mean, I think from the get-go, they literally describe it in Star Wars style, which I thought was neat. And I think that it reminds me of watching like the original trilogy. It's the same idea. It's like they are starting you in media res. It just happens that there is if you want, you can go back and watch that other stuff. But is it important? I don't know. I don't think so.
I mean, I think the main criticism I've seen pop up for these first two episodes, and I don't completely agree with it, but whatever, is that it's a lot of table setting.
Yeah.
And that is kind of what it's doing if you haven't seen it. So if you've seen Rebels, I could see how someone who's been super excited to watch this
would be disappointed,
would just be like, okay, like this is a little slow. There's a lot of table setting for stuff I already know. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a nice refresher. I think also you can't underestimate the way that you kind of need to ease people into the idea that this is live action now with characters that we know a lot. And I understand this has happened before. We've had characters that were in animated series come into live action. But this is like the main characters are now coming into live action that have never been in live action before, which I find endearingly old fashioned.
Yeah.
In this weird way where there used to be a world where like seeing a cartoon in live action was really exciting. Where you'd be what is it going to look like?
Oh, yeah.
And there is this very endearing quality about that to me. But I really enjoyed the first two episodes. I think they did a really good job with it. I think that it fits into the world of the other live action Star Wars shows that exist, but it has a slightly different vibe. It does feel more like Rebels, which I like because I love Rebels. Mm-hmm. It's a little shocking how much it is Rebels.
Yeah.
You know, like this is season 5 of Rebels or whatever.
Right.
And Hera is, you know, I mean, we knew from the trailer that Hera and Mary Elizabeth Winstead was going to play a big role. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we've just basically the only character that we don't have that could be in this, where obviously Ezra's part of the story, but is Zeb, right? Zeb's still not in it. So he might show up again.
Well, we've seen him, yeah.
Yeah, because we saw him in Mandalorian.
Yeah,
I agree. I think the vibe of this is nice, and the patience in this. I know you're talking about the table setting. Yeah. I appreciate it. Like I kind of liked lingering, and I feel like within the volume, we're running around so much in other shows, and it's never really staying anywhere. The slower, quieter moments with Sabine really stood out to me, and I appreciated that. And that made the whole feeling of it just be like, oh, okay, you know, this. I'm not gonna. It's not Andor. It's not Mandalorian. It's not a Book of Boba Fett. This is, as you said, much more Rebels.
Yeah.
Much more the style that we've known. And that feels comforting.
Yeah.
There's a real sense of place, too, obviously, because they're in basically one place. But it's rarely in a transition like this from an animated show to a live action show. Could you immediately be like, oh, like they're on Lothal?
Yeah.
It's obviously Lothal. Like, and that speaks to kind of how elegant animation design kind of has to be, that there's this shape language of like this, we'd establish these places. But, you know, seeing Sabine riding the speeder down like that long, like I guess it's like a highway through like the desert from the city. That's pretty much exactly how Rebels, the first episode of Rebels begins.
You can kind of go off the highway too, and it doesn't really matter based on your vehicle. So
maybe it's easier on the shocks.
Yeah, but you're probably right. Yeah, no, I agree. I think that was kind of where my hesitation would lie with this kind of approach of the show, and just to make sure that they like weren't going out of their way to make it look to match the animated series, because quite frankly, like if it was different, it wouldn't have bothered me to the degree. But I think that it was such a like a fleshed out world that it was probably kind of easy to translate it to some degree, to be like, we know the geography of where things are at. We know this place, this kind of like home base city. And I think that some of the better Star Wars series do that kind of thing, where it's like you kind of settle into two or three places and you find yourself kind of revisiting them over and over again.
Yeah, and that's like a common thing, obviously, from a production standpoint, right? If they're going to build something out, it's easier for them to continue to go back to those places. But that's been, I feel the same way, feel comforted within it. I'm curious what you both thought of that scene on the highway in Lothal. I really liked it. I think the one thing I just thought was, it just struck me right away, and it kind of changed as maybe I watched more of it. But I was like, boy, did you get the most generic, like, I'm a young rebel music the moment. Like, they're trying to do Beastie Boys Sabotage.
I was going to say, it was definitely like, did they call JJ? Was that to say what sounds like Beastie? Was that Lin-Manuel? Did he make that song?
Do you guys have a good beat on how much later it's supposed to, like how much time is supposed to have passed from Rebels?
I thought
I'm gathering it's like less than 10 years, but more than 5.
I thought it was quite a bit.
Well, because Rebels went right up to basically A New Hope. And we consider the original trilogy to be what, 3-5 years? 3-5 years.
I think
years,
it's supposed
right?
to be 4 years. I was looking this up a lot because I was like, surely I'll type this in and there will be one of those Google answers at the top that's in bold and definitive. The original trilogy, I think, is supposed to take place over about 4 years. and then Rebels goes straight up to the end of it. And I'd say we have to. I'd say it's probably about 10 years.
We're saying 9 to 12 years ABY. So that's after the
Battle of Yavin.
Yeah. Mm. So
all right,
and that would be.
Wait, that's when this show takes place?
Yes.
So about a decade. Okay. And Sabine at the end of Rebels was supposed to be like in her like probably like 19 or 20, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. So this is kind of if for the benefit of the story, you can kind of at 10 years on a character, you can kind of like give them a little bit of a blank canvas compared to how were younger.
Well, they basically did.
Yeah. Because I kept thinking about like all the Sky Guy quips and things like that. I was like, oh, it's kind of gone. I wonder if it, because there was a playfulness to it. I wonder if that element will come back, or if that's kind of like, it's almost like how in Last Jedi, kind of what we did to Luke.
Chris, that is a great question. That's a great question because it's been something that's been lingering for me since Ahsoka's appearances in Book of Boba Fett and Mandalorian. Is that I am waiting to see if there's like, given what happened in Clone Wars season 7, what happened to the character of Ahsoka, what's changed her? Is this building to eventually we might see the lighter side of her again? And I'm this will probably be too much of a criticism of the performance of Rosario Dawson, but I'm like, it's too dour to me. It's too stone. Like, I want more personality from Ahsoka, and that's probably because of just having watched Ahsoka for so many years in animation. And I don't know if I'm being fair to Rosario because I want to see where this goes over the course of the season, because I feel like I would understand and have a grasp of why the character acts this way if it is basically in full response to losing everything.
So I have thoughts on this, and I want to preface it by saying that I think Rosario Dawson's performance is good. It is good, on its own, and I love her. So this like isn't a criticism as much as more of an observation, because I don't think there's a problem with her performance. I think that what's kind of, when I first saw her in the episode of The Mandalorian, The Jedi, I was like, oh, like perfect. Like, this is Ahsoka to me. I hadn't watched all of Clone Wars or Rebels yet. Having watched Clone Wars and Rebels now and become like a huge fan of those shows, the thing that's different to me is that Ahsoka in those shows by the end, the darkness or like sadness about her had this idea, this kind of this wasn't her whole character, but this element of kind of like defeated resignation. Not that she had given up, but that there was like a piece of her that was just like, I've seen too much. I can't, you know, like there is this sadness about her and a loneliness too, because of everything she's been through and seen. And I think that the Rosario performance, and granted a lot of time has passed for the character, has more of a feeling of just being subdued. And I'm not like sensing as much of the sadness of her past. It seems more of just that like very like Luke in Return of the Jedi, when he kind of comes back and is like a little boring, you know, where he's just kind of like monk-like. She's not boring, and that may just have to do with the fact that Rosario Dawson is a very charismatic screen presence. But there is a difference to me between, and obviously there will be. They're two different performers. You know, there's two different actors. One of them is doing voice work amazingly, and also it's being combined with literally a not real person. This is a human being in makeup doing
that
thing.
So it's going to be different. That can kind of go back to the kind of the translation of the show from animated to live action too. It's where it's like, well, okay, well, maybe that aspect of the character was not something that was translated into animation versus, all right, now we have this live, because there's like, obviously the way, the look, the style, the feel, even though they did make that mural in the style of the animation, which I was like, if I would have seen that on a wall, I don't know. I don't know if I would have believed it.
It'd be funny if in the cartoon they did a mural that looked like super realistic.
Yeah, exactly. So I feel like maybe that's just like an added layer of air that they could not put into the animated series, that they can't, because it's also made for children as well. So I feel like it's just a new aspect, a new perspective.
It's also an interesting thing when you think about how animated performances are literally made in like two separate. There's like an audio element and a visual element, and two completely different entities are doing them.
Well, well, like Filoni, this could have been it. Filoni's vision of this could have been how he was perceiving the character the whole time. We just didn't.
Well, and also like Ashley Eckstein, right? Is her name?
Yep.
So she's doing an amazing vocal performance, but you could have something where she's delivering something either chipper or more sad, you know, whatever, and then in the visual be like, but I want her face to be doing something completely different.
Yeah. Mm.
And like that combines to make a different performance, you know?
Yeah.
It's sort of like, you know, in a basic way, tone of voice. If you just read it monotone, it doesn't have anything. If you have a certain tone,
and I
want to
be clear,
doing,
I'm not. Yeah. I think that like what I'm not, I don't want to sound like I'm diminishing in any way. Like Ashley Eckstein like created we know as Ahsoka.
No, you're just talking about how it's like all the artists combine to create what the character is.
Yeah, it's more of a
exactly. I have a very basic question. Is there any part of canon, has the story been told somewhere of Ahsoka training Sabine as a Jedi with her as an apprentice? Like it made me be like, have I missed part of a story in some piece of canon?
That was
or
my question.
is it, Chris, what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Did they create this backstory in the ensuing years between what we know so that there is a little bit more for these two characters? It seems like that's the case, but I was just sitting there like, did I miss something? Because I wasn't Kanan trained Sabine in Rebels very briefly. Like there was one episode where she's trying to hold the dark saber. And she's trying to wield the Darksaber as a Mandalorian. That was like one of the most memorable episodes for me, was her learning from Kanan. But there was not any training of Ahsoka from anything I've seen.
You're right.
I'm looking it up. There was nothing in Rebels, obviously.
Yeah, that's
said.
That was my question, too. I was trying to figure that out. I was like, well, it must have just been a plot line I missed. That's what it goes back to, everyone saying, like, well, I don't know what's going on. And I'm kind of like, well, I don't think anyone knows.
Yeah.
Like, I think this is all kind of new territory. That's a very good question. I was a little confused on that. I like it. I think it's cool.
I like
for
it too.
The character. I think it opens up the Force a little bit in this kind of world where I think for the first time watching this show and in Star Wars, this may be the first time that I was actually pulled apart from the idea that, like, obviously, Luke Skywalker is the most powerful. No, I'm just kidding. But I was kind of pulled apart from the idea that, like, the Vader storyline, even though it ties in to Ahsoka, there are other storylines that are as the stakes of the galaxy are as high. They're kind of happening in parallel. Like, and maybe this is what they're trying to do with all these series. They're almost happening in parallel to be like the Vader storyline and the Skywalker saga. That is one tale, but that's. What Ahsoka's doing is in Ezra is just as important to the universe,
right?
As the Luke story.
What you're talking about, Chris, is interiority of characters. It's literally like just someone being like, "Hey, like what these characters have going on inside of them are as valid as what's going on inside."
Exactly. And I don't think I ever felt that. I feel like the Star Wars battle has always been like, "Oh, these are ancillary stories. They don't weigh in as much."
And even the characters know it.
Exactly. And I feel like this is the first time I've felt, especially with Ahsoka, because it's a beloved character that's like, oh, like this tale is just as important as the other stuff that has happened in Star Wars. And it carries, it's pivotal to its universe. Yeah, exactly.
Isn't that so funny? It feels like Ahsoka is more separate from the Skywalker saga, even though she knew him and was directly involved.
Yeah. They were friends
because,
from school.
Because she's a full character who's like interesting on her own. So it doesn't feel, it's not like some stuff in the sequel trilogy where it's like, do they know that they're in Star Wars?
Chris, where does Andor fit in that perspective? Like, do you see it as, I guess, do you feel the same way about Andor?
I would say that's I think if the end goal of Andor wasn't to facilitate
the Death Star,
a New Hope, I would say, but I would say on its own, like a group of rebels trying to figure this stuff out. I think that is just as importantly weighted as well, because it's
I think specifically what Filoni is good at, and again, I understand that this, like, Ahsoka was trained by Anakin, so like I'm not dismissing that she's a big part of it.
He's going to show up in this show. We know that Hayden Christensen is in the show.
Right. Right, but it's like, it is an Ahsoka show, and she's very much the main character. It's not a show called, like, Anakin's Apprentice.
Right, you know? Exactly.
I think that what Filoni has been really good at is telling there's a binary I think that exists a lot of times in Star Wars, especially the movies, where it's like, this is one of the Force ones, and if it's not one that deals with the Force, it's like nothing. The way Andor is, right? Where it's like, we are completely like, we're having this take place, and Andor is a triumph. They're like, we're having this take place in a part of the universe where Force users is not a thing. We're not talking about it, and it's like Star Wars is the setting and things like that, which is cool, and that works completely. But I think that Filoni has always had this really good way of tying in that it's like, these are separate stories. There are Jedi. There are sometimes not Jedi. There are people who are like not Jedi, but they use the Force, like that kind of thing. And it gives this kind of more complete view of the world of Star Wars, as opposed to it being like, if we're not dealing with the Skywalkers, then we have to act like the Force isn't, we'll deal with the part of the universe that the Force isn't a thing.
Right.
And I think he's consistently been good with that.
I want to take a moment just to call out the performance of Natasha Leo Bordizio. I'm
great,
missing part of it. She is such a winning performance and has me already in. It's so nice when you find an actress who has had some work that has been prominent, but like you haven't spent a lot of time with her. And then you come in and you're like, wow, I'm really excited to see her develop. And regardless of the backstory of Sabine, that Sabine we know so much about already, her on her own, she makes it interesting. She's compelling enough on her own. And I'm really excited about that. And then I just was looking up her IMDb and I realized, I'm like, no, I've watched that whole season of The Society.
Netflix's most underrated show.
Yeah. I forgot about that show.
It was supposed to come back for a second season and then it was gone.
She's great, and I think that scene between her and Shin Hati, I believe is the how to pronounce the character's name. You know, the Sith apprentice of sorts. I shouldn't assume she's an apprentice just because she's younger. Maybe he's the apprentice and he got into it older in life, like someone taking an improv class. But Force there's a moment I saw on Twitter. I wish that I could credit the person, but I was doom scrolling in the middle of the night. But there's a scene, where they duel with lightsabers.
Yeah.
You may recall.
Maybe.
And someone pointed out there's this very low key clocking of something where Sabine takes out her lightsabers and her lightsaber, and they're both standing there kind of like, are we doing this? And Sabine starts to advance, which is not, as we know, the Jedi way.
Yeah.
And Shin Hati like clocks it. Like she has this moment where she's like, huh.
Yeah.
And I thought that was great.
Yeah.
I didn't notice it. I want to go back and watch it again now.
That scene was great as well because it had a little bit of almost like a call out to Rey too, where like they're kind of like both had their lightsaber.
Their laser swords.
Little rusty. Little rusty. Had their lightsabers. at each other, they're kind of like going towards each other's face. Remind me of the Kylo Rey battle. I thought that scene was cool because we see that like it gives us a gauge of how much she was trained. She's like confident enough to grab that lightsaber and go at it.
Mm-hmm.
And like I think we saw like if you'd say like progress from the Darksaber episodes of Rebels, and like I thought that was, I was kind of like, oh, wow. So it's like, it was not only like a few days. It was some legit training enough that she thought she could take this Jedi Sith hybrid character, which is very interesting. I almost in my mind of calling them like zombie Jedis. Where they're they're not like quite Siths, but they're Jedis that are fighting with the bad side.
There's also with Sabine, and this is why, this is for me is at least like, one of the reasons why Ahsoka is my favorite Star Wars character, but Sabine is carrying on the tradition, is that, and there might be angry people on the internet for that would be mad if someone said this. I think one of the most interesting Star Wars character types is a Jedi who's not really a Jedi.
Mm. Yeah.
Because, like I said, and this is truly how I feel, like when Luke comes back a Jedi in Return of the Jedi, he's really boring. He's boring. They have this very
nerd
like
alert.
Monk-like kind of like, but you are my father. Like that kind of thing.
He is until until he isn't though at the end.
Right,
the,
until
like
he
when
isn't.
He's broken. Yeah.
Like from a dramatic standpoint, watching someone like have a dogmatic principle that they don't completely agree with, but they're like trying to figure out the tension between those things is interesting.
Yeah.
So a Jedi who You know, a Jedi who does advance to attack their enemy is more interesting than someone's like, well, I guess I'm just going to wait. You know, like it's
right.
Most of the time, you know, there's sometimes like at the end of Return of the Jedi that Luke is struggling with the idea of not attacking is also interesting. But it's just like, you know, it's just a more interesting character to me.
Yeah.
To me.
I mean, it kind of takes everything we know. Yeah. I mean, I
Ahsoka identifies as not a Jedi.
I wanted to ask about that. Chris, go ahead and say your point, but I wanted to talk about that for a second.
Okay, no, go into it. Yeah, I mean, this is where I was leading.
Oh, I just wanted to... I'm sort of confused after her whole, you know, I am not a Jedi or I'm no Jedi. Why does she call herself a Jedi, or when people call her a Jedi? It's now kind of just accepted that she seems to just be a Jedi again.
Maybe we'll find out.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of... It's like one of those things where it's like maybe she believes in the idea of it, but just not the structure of it.
Since there is no structure anymore, she can be a Jedi because she basically can decide what a Jedi is.
Right. Like that to me is more interesting if it's like her being like, who is the Jedi Council to say who's a Jedi and not?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's a good point.
We'll see. I mean, but yeah. I just do think that they're more interesting characters to watch because lightsabers are cool and the force is cool.
Yeah. We talked a little bit about what it's Baylan as a character, his apprentice, Hati. Mm-hmm. And then, so what are our thoughts on kind of the evil side of this series? I'm kind of curious. Is it Morgan, the woman who was from Ahsoka's first appearance in The Mandalorian?
She's the sister of Dathomir, right?
Yeah.
Yes, which, did we know that from before? I didn't feel like we did.
I don't think so. I guess, like, her design kind of gives it,
I did not know that. I think that's so cool, especially. Make sure you check out the YouTube playthrough of Jedi Fallen Order. You'll see a lot of that. And then also Dathomir. Now Jedi Survivor. I mean, I think that's a very interesting part, and obviously this is in the Clone Wars and Rebels. I think it's such an interesting facet of Star Wars that has so much to be like explored, and I wouldn't be surprised if we see it tie in with Acolyte. It's kind of like these
they're
almost like gray spirit force in the Star Wars universe, where like they're not necessarily bad, but they like have their own agenda or like objective.
Well, it's interesting Shin, who for all intents and purposes is a Sith. Like she's a that when she finds out she's a sister of Dathomir, she's like, "You're a witch,
right?
Like to have a Sith be calling you a witch,
right? Whoa. Yikes! Look out! This is who the Sith fear, perhaps the enemy of their enemy,
or like they're like you, like or think are weirdos,
right? Yeah, right. I love the green. I mean, if you just played Survivor, the green energy stuff is so cool.
Yeah,
I hope we see some of that. Yeah. And also, that's
my big hope for Ahsoka, is seeing some of the green.
I want to see that. I want to see that Ecto Cooler energy.
You've been watching a little bit of season one of The Bear.
That's right. But I think that's awesome, and I'm glad to see. Like, I hope we get a lot more of that. And also, I think, and maybe I don't want to say spoilers, I feel like this could tie into Jedi Survivor, the video game.
Well, don't they have some of the same sound effects? Like when Ahsoka is searching for the sphere that has the map to Thrawn. It was right out of Fallen Order and Survivor.
It felt like a level that you're playing to solve those puzzles. Like,
Well, yeah, I was waiting. Here.
The stories are connected in some way. That's the point of the whole thing.
right. But I think in a larger way, I think they might be almost like a direct thing. But
well, if they have to bring Cal Kestis out of animation, he'll look exactly the same.
It's really easy. Yeah, exactly.
Hey, Chris, it all rhymes. Just remember, it rhymes.
It's a rhyme.
At the end of the day, it's really just a Western.
Yeah. it's a Western. At the end of the day, it's just an opera in the West.
I really love Ray Stevenson in this. It's so sad that he passed this. And I love the great that the first episode had the call out at the end of it. But he has that authority, that power in his
talk about gravitas, right?
Yeah. Like that's what you need in a big bad.
Yes. He's carrying it. I mean, he almost like his presence to me almost feels like the Knights Templar in Last Crusade. Like he has like this the way he carries himself is like an old like Knight of the Old Republic, kind of like he's like a Jedi extremist or something. You know what I mean? Like he's like the way his like build is. I don't know. If you were to make his game character, you like crank up his like force attributes and everything. He just looks like a force, no pun intended.
I am going to briefly, I want to talk about Hu Yang, and I want to ask about it, but I will say I'm going to leave this. If the two of you want to keep talking about the Ahsoka, unfortunately, I have to leave the pod. You two can, you know, I think you can wrap it up without me. I have confidence in you. But I love that they brought it back. And I want to ask both of you, is Huang the droid, is that practical? It looks like a fully practical effect. And it might just be that the CG is great, but I love the look of it in the show.
Oh, that's funny. I didn't even think about it. So
wow,
they're doing something right.
Yeah. I mean, I'm
I'm realizing I didn't even think about it.
I'm usually fooled by this, so
true. Well, it looked really good, and it to me, it was just really kind of nice to admire that throughout. But
what's
I also
the new droid called?
He's been in it from Rebels. He was the lightsaber, helped all the younglings build their lightsabers, and has thousands of years of lightsaber knowledge. It's Hu Yang, right? Yeah.
And he's David Tennant.
Voiced by David Tennant.
That's who does the voice. I was just trying to look it up. That's why I was asking the name. Wow. Well, that's fantastic. I love David Tennant.
it seems like he was going to be a regular in this. Like, he's going to be on the ship. They've always made really interesting droid choices throughout, you know, what we've seen in the streaming series so far. And so, you know, I feel like this is one where he'll be prominent enough and seems to have a lot to say. At least in what they've done so far. So I'm glad that it'll be around for a while. It ties back to so much history. It's an easy way for them to flip a switch and be like, all right, let's tie this to, you know, much further back generation.
The holodeck. Man, it's going to suck when he gets his arms and stuff cut off. They do that to us, though. They give us a nice, lovable droid, and then it's the easy way instead of killing a human.
Oh my god! Imagine if he's dismembered by Chopper. That would be upsetting.
Oh, Chopper! Great to see live action Chopper. I feel like it's about time. We got glimpses, right?
I think we did on the Star Wars show YouTube show. Live action Chopper would show up, and you're right, he did show up in Rogue One.
Yeah,
but this, you know, fully built just like the character. Yeah. There was no moment. I mean, it's easier because it's not obviously a human. But to make all the mannerisms the same. Yeah,
we love Chopper, our short king.
He's our short king, yes, he is.
How did we feel about the makeup with? I mean, I think we've seen Ahsoka's, but how do we feel about Hera Syndulla and her makeup and how Mary Elizabeth Winstead pulled off the transition from animation to real life?
I think she's great. I think the makeup could use another pass.
There were a couple scenes where it looked really good and a couple scenes where I'm like, ooh, that just seems,
do you think those are me out of it. Do you think those are the scenes where like they have her just hologramming in? I feel like there was one scene where I was like, oh, you didn't know if she was supposed to be in the room or not before you shot this.
There are a few. I mean, like, listen, the makeup artist did great work. I think more there's some design elements about her makeup that I think are, you know, misguided, but like, you know, whatever.
But part of it, though,
I buy it. She's a Twi'lek. I buy it.
Yeah. Part of it, though, is that's okay. I feel like we always looked at Star Wars now, it's like, oh, it's this very like prestigious, like go back to like original trilogy.
Pull whatever's out of the story.
Look at the cantina scene.
Exactly, that's like kind of my benchmark.
Throw a devil in there, don't worry about it.
Exactly, it's not, and again, it's not a dig at the makeup artist or anything. They're doing amazing work. Like, how do you create this? There's no wrong answers, but I think it works for the universe. I think Star Wars sometimes moved away too much to kind of deny that past, I think, with the some glossy CG and stuff, and it's totally fine.
All right, I will be, I'm heading back to my home planet. Hopefully I don't die along the way, a la Poochie. fair speed on this one and enjoy. I will be back on the next edition of Ahsoka, but Chris and Ryan, carry on.
All right. Godspeed, Mike.
See you, Mike.
May the Force be with you today, maybe always.
Chris, what do you want to talk about?
Now that he's gone.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing I wanted to throw at. I found myself wondering with the show. I'm going to answer my own question, but maybe we'll talk about it a little bit. I found myself watching with the show because I was like, this is season 5 of Rebels, essentially, which I love because I love Rebels.
Yeah.
So I thought to myself, Wonder why they didn't just make season 5 of Rebels.
And
the answer in every direction is money, right? In every like in every direction. I think that although they may end up spending more on a live action series, the amount of money and resource that needs to go into animation just in terms of like the amount of people you have to hire, making the studio, all of that stuff, you know, people, everyone who worked on Rebels isn't just available, they went on to other things. Then you have to think about how the cost, the return on investment of a animated show that would essentially be the extension of another animated show that you couldn't put famous people in would not be as big. So there is this interesting thing where we're seeing this transition into live action. It seems from a story standpoint to be unnecessary to me when they could have just done it animated. But I also understand that to get this made, you know, Rosario Dawson is in this show. There is not a human in Rebels that you could put on a poster.
Sure.
It is interesting because I'm like watching it and there is this kind of tension about it, which is also kind of, like I said, like endearingly old fashioned, where there's this like feeling of like, but if you see it in live action, it's just better.
Yeah.
I think that the animated shows were so good that it kind of like debunked that.
Yeah. I think that I know exactly what you're describing. And I think probably from a whatever, I don't want to say like business perspective, but it has probably more audience share to get a live action series than an
100%. Like, I don't even think it's debatable. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I feel like a lot of people can't get over the hurdle of watching a cartoon versus something that's live. Even if, I don't know, it just strikes different chords in people.
Savannah Guthrie on the Today Show talks about how she loves The Mandalorian. There's no way she's watching an animated Star Wars show.
She's not watching Rebels and Clone Wars. Who knows? I think that I was thinking that too. Like, this could have just been another season of Rebels, or it could have been like a special like one off season. I don't know. I feel like in order for the story to progress to maybe the importance, and this kind of goes back to like the interiority of the characters, like maybe it needed this kind of like new coat of paint.
Yeah.
It needed like this fresh wash just to like say, hey, this is like the definitive telling of this, as opposed to if you had another season, there might be an episode where they pop in and help out a village or something. This has kind of a singular goal. I think if you're doing episodic children's television, there's some things you can't do to kind of round.
You say that up. Like that won't happen in this show.
Yeah, exactly. There's going to be a side. I just can't wait to see what cute new creature we find out. Mm-hmm. They're like, I didn't know those existed. But at the same token, the Bad Batch is kind of that for Clone Wars, though. It is kind of the wrap up of Clone Wars in a way that is pretty succinct and goal focused. And I think that was like,
but I guess proving our own point, we didn't watch that.
Yeah. I think that the idea here, though, of a show that's not meandering, and then that we got a very clear goal from the get-go. And I think that's what's important with this show, is that they gave themselves an objective. I hope it's what, 8 episode series, miniseries?
Let's see. Yeah, 8.
I hope that it's just full on. We're chasing the Quidditch bug or whatever that thing called?
Oh my god! Now you made me snitch. You threw my brain so far off.
The Quidditch bug,
the golden snitch.
I don't know anything about Harry Potter, but I hope it's full on. We're chasing that thing this whole season, and we're not gonna kind of like meander anywhere else, because I think that's what's going to make the show very fun to watch and also help people understand what's going on. And there I hope we learn some stuff. I think there's going to be an element of kind of universe building, or I think this show is going to be an additive to the Star Wars universe in a way that's kind of almost like a gateway to other stuff. And that's my hopes for it, is that this could be an entry point for a lot of people.
I agree. And I've enjoyed it. I'm excited, you know? I'm excited for it. And it's, you know, we've talked about with the abundance of, like, Star Wars stuff that's come out in the last few years, it's hard to kind of you know, get super amped. I think even they seem to know a little bit by being like, you know what, we'll release it at 7 p.m. yeah. the night before.
Yeah.
You don't have to stay up until midnight. It's also, I mean, we were talking about this. They're just like returning us to linear television.
Yeah.
Instead of paying one company now, we're paying 18 to watch things week to week.
Yeah. That's all a mess. that's
like, someone should go on strike about it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Hey, we stand with them.
Yeah.
I don't know. My expectation, honestly, after Andor, my expectations just kind of translated into, well, we get what we get, and like, it's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's appropriate. Like, sometimes, like, there's going to be a ton of content. So it's like, sometimes it'll be great. Sometimes it'll be fine. Sometimes, you know, like, whatever. So it's like, this so far to me is falling into the very good territory.
Yeah.
So, you know, and Dave Filoni generally has a long tail with these things where it's like, he tells bigger stories and they, even it, you know, if you watch the first few episodes of Clone Wars, you may not be like, this will probably be one of the best Star Wars stories ever told.
Right. Yeah. Sometimes it takes a little to get in. Yeah.
Yeah. I think, Chris, have we said it all? Is there anything else you want to talk about with the show?
I mean, I think that visually, space stuff looked great. The chase, those things look good. I think they kept up the fidelity of that stuff, which is kind of fun. I kept thinking of the scene back in Andor with that epic space battle where they're kind of like, well, we're going to have one and it's going to be really good. So I'm hoping for some of that here. But overall, I'm happy. I'm excited to see where it goes. I think I'm just glad I played through those games, Jedi. I think we're going to see some fun stuff, but we'll find out.
Yes, we will, Chris. And we'll be here all of the way to shepherd you through.
Yeah, and we're back, and it's great to be back.
Yeah, we're back from the summer break.
Yeah.
You know, you and I don't have kids, but it was hot out.
Yeah, it was very hot. It's like we're on Tatooine. I wish I was a moisture farmer. Well, I was
basically. Summer...
Honestly, you could harvest. could harvest
you were the of you were the farm.
Yeah.
I got moisture, Greg. Can you harvest me? That was a Chris. That was a Chris that, lift.
That's good. That's good. That's good.
I have to credit you with that. But I mean, summer for me now just means that life is more uncomfortable.
Yeah.
That's for it. 3 months. Like, nothing else changes.
right.
I'm not off from. I'm not off from work or anything.
You still gotta go to work. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just really hard to get there, and then when I get there, I feel gross. so here's hoping it cools down.
Yeah. We got
also,
seven more.
Why do they do all their CG stuff in broad daylight now? Don't they know it's easier if you do it at night?
I feel like that's their challenge. I feel like they're challenging themselves. Yeah, otherwise it gets, like, you could kind of tell sometimes everything turns into, like, log footage. It's like, gets a little flat, but
I think like that temple that was just, like, white and gray.
Yeah, exactly. Everything, yeah, you're absolutely right. I feel like they did better work with the volume in this also, where it was kind of like they knew not to have them moving around too much, I feel.
Yeah, there was one shot where they're like walking out of a door and there's like people celebrating behind them. And it was like, I don't even know if it was the volume. It might have been CGI. Honestly,
this full on
like our green screen. It might have been the green screen, I should say, old school green screen. Hey. Good luck pulling a key with Hera in the scene, though.
All of a sudden, not gonna have a face.
You just gonna have a floating helmet. Well, I think I think that's it, Chris.
I think this is evidence that we're we need. Yeah, Mike.
Don't worry, we're only 23 minutes away from the end. Everybody,
we're just getting back into it.
Yeah. Well, Chris, thank you for being here.
Yeah, don't forget to like, rate, review us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcast. Everywhere else, like Spotify, I think it's the only other one.
I hope people, when they see us pop up in their feed, because it's been a few months, I hope that they're not just, I hope they're not afraid that we're like, announcing a death or something.
Right. Yeah. No, we're back. We can alleviate that. We won't put like big news death in the description.
Big news death.
Find us on X. So much has changed.
Oh, God.
at DroidsPod. Find us on Instagram at DroidsPod.
You can find us on X at Twitter.com.
Yeah, go to Twitter.com. Email us, DroidsPod at Gmail. Still didn't get that domain. DroidsPod at Gmail.com. Let us know what you think. Or if you want to start a drop chain, we're open to it.
We do have to. Thank you to David for the drop.
Thank
of course,
you for David.
And
thank you to David
to the Doughboys for yeah, for exactly. that
Let's
being
just
a
lift
thing.
That. Let's lift that. Sounds great. But yeah.
Thanks Ryan as always. Hope. Thanks as always to the Doughboys for all their support.
And holy Lothcat. Was that Lothcat real? I don't know.
I think the face was.
Then yeah.
Right so on. What is it? Wait, hold on. And that'll do it for the droids you're looking for. A Star Wars pop.
Annie? Lothcat?
Annie Lothcat. All right, we did it.